Our risk for heart disease can increase as we age, so we want to make sure that we're addressing this early. Really, our risk for heart disease is established when we're young. Now, we can reduce our risk. You know, we can be at a really high risk and then make some significant changes in our life and drastically drop that risk. So we want to make sure that we are starting early and keeping that risk as low as possible throughout our lifespan.
February is National Heart Month. This year's theme is Know Your Numbers, Own Your Heart, which emphasizes the importance of understanding and managing key cardiovascular risk factors, such as blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar levels. Cardiovascular disease, or heart disease, is the leading cause of death in the U.S. and around the world. On today's Sound Living, Improving Heart Health. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. By 2030, it's estimated that more than 1 million people in the U.S. could die from heart disease, and Kansas does not escape that problem. K-State Research and Extension Aging Specialist Aaron Martinez says that heart disease leads all causes of death in the state. Aaron, Heart Healthy Month makes us think about some of the things we need to do to protect our heart health, and as part of that, really what comes into play are risk factors.
Absolutely. So cardiovascular disease, also known as heart disease, is the number one cause of death for both men and women in the United States. And surprisingly, it has been the leading cause of death for over 100 years. So this isn't new. We have a lot of research and data showing us what those risk factors are. The key risk factors that we oftentimes talk about are high blood pressure, high blood cholesterol, and smoking.
And the problem is we need to know that this is going on. So what do we do to make sure that we're kind of monitoring our health, I guess?
Yeah. So one of the things that we hear about with heart disease is that the prevention and education really is key, because so many of the behaviors that are significant risk factors can be modified by our own behavior and by our own diet and how we're treating our bodies. So knowing how to address those things is very important. Like I said, the big risk factors are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and smoking. So we can easily reduce our risk by, first of all, stopping all tobacco use, including smoking regular cigarettes and also vaping, making sure that we are reducing salt in our diet, which can decrease our blood pressure. We're eating more fruits and vegetables, whether those are fresh, canned, frozen, whatever that looks like for you. And getting regular physical activity as well to keep those cholesterol levels and triglycerides and all of that in check. So doing some simple behavior changes can make a really big difference, but we know that these aren't always so simple to change.
When it comes to older adults, we want to get on this early, right? Because this is something that is progressive.
Absolutely. So our risk for heart disease can increase as we age. So age is also a risk factor for a lot of diseases, including heart disease, dementias, and things like that. So we want to make sure that we're addressing this early. Really, our risk for heart disease is established when we're young, and we continue to follow that pattern throughout our lifespan. Now, we can reduce our risk. You know, we can be at a really high risk and then make some significant changes in our life and drastically drop that risk. So it's possible to send it in the opposite direction. So we want to make sure that we are starting early and keeping that risk as low as possible throughout our lifespan.
Health screenings, is that one of the keys, making sure that we're staying on top of these numbers that you were talking about?
Absolutely. So a person who is generally healthy should always be going to see a primary care physician, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, whatever that looks like for you, at least once a year. So generally that once a year guideline. I currently go and see my primary care practitioner once a year, get my blood work done. Even though I don't have anything really to complain about, or, you know, nothing's really going on, I'm not feeling bad, but I still just want to make sure that I'm going. And one of those reasons that I go is to get my blood work done. And we know that there's a lot of signs that can pop up in the results from our blood work that can give us some insight into things that might happen in the future, like cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, you were talking about the cholesterol. And I know that that's sometimes confusing because we have a good cholesterol number and a bad cholesterol number. And sometimes we get those confused.
Yeah, and that's easy to get them confused. So you have your total cholesterol, you have HDL, LDL, all of those things. And so it can be confusing, but generally we want to aim for healthy ranges in all of those, and your doctor or primary care provider can walk you through exactly what those numbers are and what those mean for your risk levels.
And as you were saying, that is something that can be controlled through diet a lot, at least not completely, but somewhat through diet.
Yeah, our diet has a huge role in what those numbers are and how our cholesterol is managed, as well as our blood pressure as well. And so a key here is that we don't have to think about eating fresh fruits and vegetables as, you know, eating a salad. That's not what that always means. I always talk about our fresh, canned, and frozen options. What is accessible to you? We know that accessibility and cost can be a big factor for people. And so thinking about how to incorporate healthier foods into our diet to decrease our risk of a whole plethora of diseases, including cardiovascular disease, thinking creatively is really important to make sure that we're eating the best that we can.
For older adults, we also might see a change in how much food we need. We're often not as hungry.
Yes, so you might not be as hungry, but you also may not be as active. So your caloric needs may not be as high as they once were. And so it's important to talk with your doctor about that. You can talk with a registered dietitian. Oftentimes, visits with registered dietitians are covered by insurance. So getting some key insights into how much you should be eating, the types of things we should be eating, can be really important for your health.
We often talk about weight as being an issue, and really what we're looking for here is just maintaining a healthy weight for whatever size we might be.
Yeah, and so being overweight and obese is a huge risk factor for cardiovascular disease. So we want to make sure that we are maintaining a healthy weight, and that can look different for other people. So someone who is a weightlifter, bodybuilder, they're obviously going to weigh a little bit more than someone who isn't because they have a whole lot of muscle, and muscle is very heavy and dense. So, you know, a healthy weight for them, it might be categorized as overweight or obese, but really it's not. It's because of that amount of muscle. So it's important that we're thinking about the context with our weight. You know, is this a healthy weight for us? And your doctor can help you navigate that decision.
You mentioned muscle, and that's something that we do lose. And for older adults, we lose it fairly rapidly. So we need to be doing some things that will maintain that muscle so that we're not losing muscle. We're actually building muscle.
Yes, and this is so important and is one thing that we oftentimes don't think about, especially with exercise for older adults. But the research has shown, and there's a lot of work being done in communities to help promote strength training for older adults. This doesn't mean lifting large amounts of weights or doing, you know, super strenuous exercise. This can be something as adding a little bit of weight to an exercise that you do, even if that's a can of peas, for example, and doing some lifts that way. Adding a little bit of extra weight is so important and can help build up and maintain that muscle. Our muscles do experience some pretty rapid decline as we age, particularly if we are not active. And so keeping active, engaging in some light resistance training, strength training, this is all so important to maintaining our overall health, and it has a direct connection to our heart health.
I know my wife has a couple of exercises she does each week where she does use the bands, and that resistance is really more than you would think. It's not like lifting weights, but you still feel that same impact, I guess.
Yeah, resistance bands and other stretchy things that we can use as tools for exercise really make a big difference because they are adding some extra pressure, but in a good way. And it's not necessarily, you know, the really tight or the really strong bands that we have to use. We can use the light ones and have excellent benefits as well.
One of the other things I saw was that we also want to make sure that we're managing stress because stress can be another contributing factor for heart problems.
Absolutely. So I think we've all heard people say, you know, when they get stressed out, oh, I'm going to give myself a heart attack, right? And there's a reason that we say that. And it's because stress levels are related to cardiovascular disease. And so maintaining, you know, healthy amounts of stress, everyone experiences stress, but we can manage it in healthy ways, is important. And so that brings into the conversation some things about stress management, anger management, mental health, and making sure that we are just being the best, you know, version of ourselves as possible and getting help that we need, making sure that we're learning to manage our stress in healthy ways. It all relates back to our heart health.
Sleep, does that also come into play here?
Absolutely. So sleep, general consensus is somewhere between 7 and 9 hours a night. But sleep has a huge relation to our heart health, our brain health as well, because it keeps our bodies functioning in their top shape and making sure that we have enough energy to make healthy choices and do the things that we need to be doing throughout our day and keeps our bodies healthy and functioning well.
I was talking earlier about identifying risk factors and risk in general for heart issues. And Kansas State University has been doing some research along those lines?
Yes. So K-State researchers in Dr. Carl Oddie's Clinical Integrated Physiology Lab have been testing a tool developed by the American Heart Association called PREVENT. So PREVENT is an online calculator that stands for Predicting Risk of Cardiovascular Disease Events. So you enter basic information. Anyone can do this online. Enter basic information like your sex, age, if you've been diagnosed with certain conditions like diabetes, and then you enter some of those numbers from your most recent blood test that you get from your primary care physician, things like your total cholesterol, those good and bad cholesterols like we were talking about earlier. So you punch these numbers in, and then what comes out is a 10-year risk estimate. And what K-State researchers have found is that this estimate is really accurate. So in terms of if you are low, borderline, intermediate, or high risk, but also in terms of timeline. So if it shows that you are at high risk for a cardiovascular event within the next 10 years, the research is showing that that's pretty accurate and you probably could have a cardiovascular event in the next 10 years. So researchers have really been talking about this tool so that we can engage in more preventative behaviors, live a healthier lifestyle, but also engage in some discussion and shared decision making with our primary care physicians so that we can really talk about prevention and treatment early.
Yeah, you mentioned those risk factors and if we can identify them early on. And really a test that comes back so specific, I think probably gets our attention maybe a little bit more than just maybe, oh, my cholesterol's a little high. I think when you start seeing some of these risk factors and a real timeline to it, probably makes it more impactful.
I think so. I mean, if my test came back and said I'm at high risk for a cardiovascular event in the next 10 years, I think I would be making some changes because that's a scary thing. And as the research has shown, this test is pretty accurate. So we know that if we get a result back that we need to make some changes and we need to make them now. And they don't have to be drastic, completely change our life today. This is, we can make small incremental changes, but any change is going to make a big difference.
You talked about the health and nutrition, but also the getting physical activity. And Extension has some things that people can do along those lines. Stay strong, stay healthy. Walk Kansas will be starting soon. So some of those things that can help you get that exercise that maybe you're not building into your everyday routine.
Absolutely. Stay strong, stay healthy, like you mentioned, our wonderful Walk Kansas program, engaging in other exercise activities that are offered through Extension or talking to your local Extension office about what opportunities are available in your community. Also important, if nothing exists in your community, which is a problem in many of our rural, more remote communities, go and talk to your Extension office and see if there's something we can bring to the community and help our community out and get people up and active and engaging in physical activity. Extension has a lot of resources for physical activity, but also with nutrition, with getting people connected with benefits to help them improve their nutrition, make healthy choices. So if you are at high risk, if you go and you use this PREVENT calculator and you get back a result that is scary, head straight to the Extension office and start figuring out what Extension can do for you.
That's K-State Research and Extension Aging Specialist Erin Martinez with steps that we can take to improve our heart health. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. and this is the K-State Radio Network.